Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf nun. We're starting the second line from the top of the Amud. Tanya Reb Nosin Oimer. Ze veze kishtei beim. Loi hoidu loi chachomim. What is this referring to? You remember we had back in the Mishnah, we had a machloikis regarding two separate halachas. Halacha number one, the Mishnah was back on Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Halacha number one was that a person was going out to do a dvar mitzvah, lishchot es pischoy, lomul es pinoy, leachol sudas edus mebeis chomav. And he remembered, oh no, I have chomets at home that I forgot to go and be mevayer. In other words, it's Erev Pesach, it's 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, he's going to do this dvar mitzvah, and then he remembers, oh no, I forgot chomets at home. So it says in the Mishnah, yochel lachsel levayer. If he still has enough time to schnell get back home, take out the chometz, go and be mevayer the chometz, that's what he should do. But if he doesn't have enough time and he's going the dvar mitzvah, mevatli believe boy, he should go and be mevatel belev. In other words, bittel helps min hatoira. The only reason why you have to have beer chometz is midrabanan, meaning that bittel would go and can take care of the iser of bayiro bayimatzeh. It was mevatel. It's not mine anymore. But shem yimtze guski yafa. The chum said, make sure you go and search and look and find and then eradicate whatever chutz. Okay. Then we had another halacha in the Mishnah, totally unrelated. This is a person who's traveling from Yerushalayim somewhere else to Bnei Brak, Tel Aviv, wherever. And as he's traveling, he remembers, I forgot. In my rucksack, in my backpack, or in my suitcase, I put in a couple of sandwiches. And one of the sandwiches involves meat from a carbon shlomim, lemushel. Carbon shlomim, as we know, has to be eaten within Yerushalayim. As soon as you leave Yerushalayim, you have a problem that the carbon becomes possible biyoitze. And now it's got to be burned. So the Mishnah talked about whether this person has already passed Soifim, or has he not passed Soifim? If he has passed Soifim, then he doesn't have to return. He should just go and burn it on the Mekoimai. But if he has not passed Soifim, then he should return to Yerushalayim and go and burn it there, Lefnei Abira, like we learned in the Mishnah. Now the question is, said the Mishnah, both Legabi, the chometz that you have to go back home if you have enough time, as well as the Psar Kodshim, if you haven't passed Soifim that you have to return to Yerushalayim. At kam mehin choizrin, what shir, is it even just a mashahu of chometz at home, or a mashahu of basar kodshim in your rucksack? What's the shir? So we had a machloikis. A three-way machloikis. Rav Meir said, zeh v'zeh kibayah. Rav Yehuda oimer zeh v'zeh pikzayis. V'chom oimerim basar kodish pikzayis. The chometz b'kibeya. Yesterday the Gemara explained why Reb Meir holds it's got to be kibeya, why Reb Yehuda holds it's got to be kizayis. The chum didn't. The Gemara didn't explain the chachamim, but the Tosis here on Mem Tes Amud Aleph does explain pshat in the chacham. So we have beya kibeya, kizayis kizayis, and then we have almost yovia kots v'shlishi v'chriya b'nayim by kodshim it's a kizayis and chum it's a kibeya. Now we have a fourth daya, which is brought here in the Braisa, Tanya ibn Nosan Oimer, Zeh v'zeh, both regarding the chometz that you're returning home to burn, as well as agabi the kodshim that by mistake you took along with you, and now you have to go back to Yerushalayim to go and burn. In both cases, Ishir is kishtei beim to X. You're looking for the toys.
I see it. No.
Okay.
I want to see what the difference between Nosan and Meir. Meir said one egg. And Remerson saying two eggs.
Exactly. So that big difference. Two times one
double,
is
double.
Double. 100% more. 100%. And you're 100% right. The Chum didn't agree because, as we see from the Mishnah, that all three Chachamim quoted in the Mishnah, Stam, the Chachamim, we started off with Remeir, and then we had Reb Yehuda, and then we had the rest of the Chachamim. All of them had different shiurim, but they didn't agree with Reb Nosson. As opposed to all the previous ones where the Gemara gave a svara why Remeir holds a kibeya and why Reb Yehuda holds a kizayis, etc., and why the Chachamim hold the Yavi, the Hachra, each one of them is a pshat given. For Reb Nosson, the Gemara doesn't go and address why Reb Nosson says kishtei beim. Rashi doesn't say, Tosis doesn't say. Apparently Reb Nosson felt it has to be a pshashir choshev, but why kishtei kibayim, it doesn't say. From here to the end of the perek, we're going to go and have a little bit of a gadita. Why are we getting into a garata? So Rashi already tells us why. If you look at Rashi, the second line from the top, Yikoros v'kipo'oin, Aydi de'ayri b'Yisholayim, b'yitziyah she'oreha, since we spoke about in the Mishnah that you passed the she'orim, the gates of Yerushalayim, diktoni, v'chein mishiyotam Yerushalayim, pasav b'ha parashasa. That's why we're beginning to talk about these psukim, the be'in al meimer, come on, because later on the Omid, we're going to discuss it, osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'hoisev al Yerushalayim, the osed love of Yerushalayim will be expanded very, very greatly. We're seeing already today, Baruch Hashem, the miracle growth, miraculous growth of Yerushalayim. Of course, it doesn't have the blessing yet of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would be Lasset Lovai, but Mir Tashem, hopefully it'll happen in the Karim Mamish. So the first pasuk that we're going to bring now is a pasuk in Zechariah. It does not discuss in any way, shape, or form the growth, the future growth of Yerushalayim. However, because we're going to have another pasuk in the same capital in Zechariah, which will talk about Yerushalayim, that's why we are beginning with this pasuk. Zochi Maravayu B'yamahu. Excuse me. Lo yie oir yikorois v'kipo'oin. On that day, the Gemara is going to explain surely that means l'olam haba. On that day, lo yie oir. Oir is referring to Rashi, says the oir hachama, the brilliant light of the sun. Yikorois, which in this world is godol v'yokor. It's very precious, especially if it's only 23 degrees outside and you go into the sun. You say, ah, machai, baruch Hashem, a little warmth from the sun. So the oyer in this world is yokar, is a dover choshev ma'oid. Masha'en kem li'osel lovay, the heat and the brilliance of our sun will be lightweight. It will not be anything choshev compared to the great light that there will be the oylem haba. That's what the Gemara explained. My yikar is v'kipoin amre blozer ze or shiokam oylem hazeh. In this world is very dear and precious. The kofui, Rashi says the word kofui means as if it's floating. Something very, very light that floats on the water. Oylem haba, it won't be a heavyweight, it's going to be a lightweight. If you look at the Rashi, or shiokam oylem hazeh ze Rashi kishacham me'ira b'gvurasa. When the sun is really beating down and it's all of its brilliance. Va'ira godu. Oisei or choshev v'yokar shula. That's a grisa chashivis and yokar, steer and precious. That la'asa lava yehe kofui v'kal li'olam haba. Compared to the great light of li'olam haba, that's going to be like a flashlight. Called over kal kori kofui. Tzaf alamayim, it's floating on the water. V'yitzef ha'barzla metagimina, the kofa barzla. So you see the word kofui over here. Kofui here, nothing to do with something that congeals. Here the word kofui means something that floats. It's very light. So here, it's heavy. Oh, heavy duty. Good sun. And then in Rasulullah, it's anguish. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Eilun Negoim V'Holois, Sheikorin Heim V'Olam Hazeh, U'Kfuyin Heim V'Olam Haba. Anybody that's ever learned Masechtas Negoim V'Holois, you'll quickly find that that's heavyweight stuff. That's really heavy duty. It's not like Megillah V'Tanis or Masechtas Brachas. This is really difficult. Mishnayis, very hard to understand. So the Yaakov Oilam Hazeh, these are heavyweights in this world, very hard to understand. But Queen Oilam Abad, Oilam Abad, there'll be such a lechtikite, such a beautiful spiritual light that will make learning very, very simple, and people will be able to learn the Gomboy Holis just by the snap of a finger. Rabbi Shuman Levi Omar, another pshat in Yikoris Vikipoin, Eilu B'nei Odom Shiyikorim Heim Oilam Hazeh, those are the people that are very choshev in this world, Rashi says, Ashirim V'chashuvim. The Einam Toivim Lamokim, but they're not such great guys. They are heavy duty in terms of being very wealthy, but I guess in the tzedakah and other things, a bissel shvach. In fact, Olam Haba, you'll find that the greatest kanakas in this world, Olam Haba, and bissel shvach. Ki hoder of Yosef Bereid of Yishub ben Levi, very famous Gemara, of Yosef, his son of Yishub ben Levi, Cholash, he was very sick, the Isnagid. Exactly what isnagid means, I guess, is open to a certain degree of speculation. Rashi says, isnagid gova uporcha ruchai. Sounds like he passed away.
Comatose.
Okay. As you know, the Gemara, the Torah uses the expression vayigva vayomas. So usually gvia is associated with death, that the person, chas v'shalom, passed away. But the art scroll doesn't refer to the passed away, but just rather that he became so sick that he fainted for an extended period of time, and then he came back to himself. or according to the Pashup Shat Lefi Rashi, there was a Tchias HaMeisim. Anyway, Kihadu as... This is Rav Yosef Rebbe Shimon Levi's wife, and I don't think so, but I cannot say that for sure.
He's taking care of the body.
No, who forgot his learning.
I don't think it's the same one, but I couldn't tell you for certain. Anyway, Cholish Yisnagid, Tzikihoda, when he came back to life, Amalei Avu, his father said to him, Rabbi Shimon Levi said to his son, Rabbi Yosef, my Chosis, what did you see there upstairs? Amalei Oilam Hafach Reisi, I saw that everything was upside down. Elyoinim Lamatav Tachtoinim Lamala. Elyoinim, those that were considered to be very high individuals, very, very choshev on this world, well, Lamata, they were in the back of the bus on the other world. The Tachtoinim, those people that considered on this world to be kind of third class citizens, Lamala, they were sitting at the top at the main dais. So there was a very fundamental switch on the roles of individuals and the chashivas that they had. As Omaloi, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says to his son, Bidi, Oilam Bore Isa, you didn't see an Oilam Hafach. You saw the truth. Because sometimes the greatest Kanakas in this world, they have no other malice other than the fact that they have money, but otherwise they are nobodies. And then you have people that you look upon them, but they have met. Each of the Svarim say that the purpose of every individual in this world is not necessarily to become the Gadol Hadar. What every person is want, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from them, is to satisfy their mission. It would be good if when we were born we had a mission statement, so we would know exactly what that mission is. But the mission clearly is to go and meet and try to attain your potential in life. If your potential is to know three Mesechtes Baal Peh, you should know that. If your potential is to know Gan Shas Baal Peh, you should do that. The point is, everybody has to do their potential. So you find, unfortunately, people that are not Grace of Bali Kishrain. So you say, Mishka Grace of Chucham. But if he meets up to his Kishrain, as he does the maximum that he can possibly do, then he becomes an Elyoinim. So therefore, Tagmar says, Oilam Bararisi, you see over there, in fact, what the real, true character and quality of each individual is, not like we see people down here. Vanan Hechi Hosam. What do we look like? We, meaning the Talmid Chacham that are learning, what status do we have up there? We have the same stature over here that we have over there, or there as we have over here. In other words, we don't change. It's the people that have money or don't have money, the Kanakers, those change, but in terms of Talmid Chacham, just like they're held in high esteem in this world, they're held in high esteem in the other world. And I heard that they were saying, praiseworthy, meritorious is a person that comes to here, meaning to the Olam Haba, and he brings his Talmud with him. Now what exactly does that mean, bring your Talmud with him? So Parshat Pshat means that he knows his learning, that he has learned, and Baruch Hashem, he brings with him a wealth of Torah knowledge. Some say Talmud B'Yodai means that the person wrote Divrei Torah on this world, and it's as if he's bringing with him his Svarim, his manuscripts in his hand, that he can go and show upstairs what he accomplished in this world. And I also heard them announce that those who were Arugim Malchus, nobody can stand within their Mechitza, within their Dalet Amos. The fact you remind me, who are these Harugim Malchus? L'chayr, we're talking about the Asar Harugim Malchus that we always mourn on Tisha B'Av, and that we have as well on Yom Kippur. Exactly. So, Ilema, is that what you're referring to, Rabbi Kiva Lachavera? Fact you want to show Harugim Malchus of Suloi? After all, Rabbi Kiva was great for many, many, many years before he was killed. If it wasn't for Rabbi Kiva, we wouldn't have most of Tisha B'Av Peh, because almost every single mission, every single Gemara are Libid Rabbi Kiva, his Talmidim, Remeir, Rabbi Yehuda, etc. If it wasn't for Rabbi Kiva, we would have a very, very small amount of Torah. So therefore, what we have to thank Rabbi Kiva, and the reason why he should be praised up there, is not just because he was killed by the Malchus in a very, very terrible way. The reason why we have to go and go and laud and hold Rabbi Kiva in great esteem is because all the Torah that they spread and that they learned, Ba'olam Hazeh. Ella says, you're right, not Arugi Malchus in that sense. Yes, Arugi Malchus, we're really referring to the Arugi Lord. Now, Gemara doesn't tell us anything more about them. Right. You have a very, very short Rashi who says very succinctly, this is really a Gemara Masechtas Tanis. It's talking about that there was a period of time in which, unfortunately, the daughter of the king was murdered. Now, since she was murdered, who do you think they blamed it on? They blamed it on all of the Yidden. That, after all, we poison all the wells and we kill all the Goyim, all the Gentile children before Pesach for our matzahs. So we killed also this Bas Melech. And as a result, it was a gzeira on all of Klal Yisrael that if the person who was guilty didn't show up, then all of them, Chas V'Shalom, were going to be killed. So there were two brothers, Lulainus and Pappus. Sounds like Greek names. They came to the palace and they said, "We are the ones that killed her." Truth of the matter is, they had nothing to do with it. They were learning the daf at that time, but they wanted to go and save the rank and file of Klal Yisrael. And Tyrannus, who was at that time the melech, he said, "Okay, these guys got to go and be killed, because after all, they admitted to the crime and they were killed." So this was a tremendous act of self-sacrifice, of heroism on the part of Pappus Linus, and that's why the Gemara says that they announced up in Shemayim that the Haruge Lud, Ein Odom Yochel HaMechitzos, and nobody can get close to them because of their great Mesiris Nefesh on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Okay, now we continue on, Vayta, another Pasuk in Zechariah, and here we're going to start talking about Yerushalayim, which was the reason why we brought these psukim in Zechari in the first place. Shteitin possibly yemahu yeh al metzilois hasus koidish lahashem. The metzilois hasus, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, was apparently bells that they put around the necks of the horses. Even today, you can see sometimes when they have a parade, they have a bunch of animals. Sometimes they put bells around the cows and things like that. So they have bells around the horse. And it says that on that day, those bells are going to be Kodesh Lashem. So what does that mean, they're going to be Kodesh Lashem? So if you want to mind the Tzilo Isasus, so first thing Mora comes up with a brand new pshat, which is not even close to bells on horses, but Rabbi Amri Pshu Belevi, also Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lo Hoysef Al Yerushalayim Ad Shasus Rotz Umatzil. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to expand Yerushalayim so great, or so greatly. How much, what's the expansion? The amount that a sus can run from 6 o'clock until chatzois, until noon. In other words, for 6 hours. Figure out how much a sus, a horse, can go and run for 6 hours straight. That's quite a few miles. That's how Yerushalayim is going to be expanded. Now, where do we see in the word metzilois, achasus rotz umatzil? What is matzil? Matzil sounds like a hatzola, that he's coming to help. What does it have to do with chatzois? So Rashi says that the word matzil over here comes from the word tzel. And what it means to say is that, as we know, throughout the day, animals, as well as lahavdil human beings, when we're walking down the street, or even inanimate objects, when the sun is coming down, so then everybody and everything and every animal has a shadow. When do we stop having a shadow which is visible and discernible? When the sun is directly overhead at 12 o'clock. Because then any shadow comes down directly beneath us. And since we're standing where we are, so then you don't see any shadow. Except for an animal, where you can see a shadow perhaps under its body, on the floor, under its chest, under its stomach, etc. And that's what we mean to say over here, as much as the sus can run until this man with its tzel is directly underneath the animal. Let's see Rashi. Ad shosha sus rotzu matzil. Rashi is about halfway down the Amud. So Rashi, kishir merutzas sus, the amount, the shear, the measure of the running of the horse, ad chatzi ayom, until middle of the day. Veloshen matzil, shetziloi tachtav, the tzel, the shadow that is formed by this animal, is directly underneath him. The sun goes and shines to the side. To the side. And so on and so forth. This is Rashi, that's who I found in the Pirush of Ben Mochir, Zatzal Motzos. So that's the reason why we brought up this Gemara, because we were talking about the individual who left Yerushalayim, and guess what? Only after he left, he remembered, uh-oh, I have some Basar Kodshim. This problem will be far, far less of a problem in the future, because the love of Yerushalayim will be so, so wide, it'll be practically as gets up to Tel Aviv or Bnei Brak, maybe even beyond that. So it's going to take a long time for the person to leave Yerushalayim, unless he lives on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. But otherwise, if you're leaving the Beis Hamikdash and you have with you your Shlamim, and you're on your route and you're on your way, it's going to take an hour or two or whatever, maybe up to 6 hours, until you realize, uh-oh, I have some Shlamim with me. Guess what? I'm still in Yerushalayim. He'll be able to go and burn Yerushalayim. He won't have to worry about going back.
We'll be able to eat it if it's in your shalim.
You may be able to eat it, exactly. Well, maybe he's going to miss his bus or his train. You're right. But otherwise, he'll be able to eat it. 100% correct. Shkoyach. Getting back to the Gemara, so that's the first pshat. However, we're going to see two other pshatim. What are the other pshatim of the Gemara? Rabbi Lozer, Omar kol metzila shetoylim lesus bein enov, iye koydish lehashem. That the people at that time are going to be generous to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to go and give to the Beis HaMikdash many of their earthly possessions, even the bells around the necks and around the faces, whatever, of the Sus Bein Einov, even those, presumably that's hanging on their forehead and coming down, probably it's somewhat artistic or whatever, even those bells, they're going to go and donate to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to be Kodesh Lashem. And that's a pshat in the pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol Biza Shabuiz in Yisrael Ad Shosh Asus Ratzu Matzil Yeh Kodesh Lashem. Rabbi Yochanan's pshat is a little bit of a combination of Rabbi Shuvan Levi's pshat and Rabbi Loza's pshat. In which respect? Kol Biza Shabuiz in Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are going to fight many milchamois, and in the wars they're going to go and be zocha to a lot of booty, a lot of spoils. How much spoils are they going to be zocha to? To millions and billions. And they're going to be very generous, and they're going to give away all the spoils that they received every morning from 6 o'clock in the morning until... Okay, gentlemen, somebody's phone needs to be muted, because we're hearing some background sounds here. Even though we're talking about thousands of miles away, we can still hear it. So yishar koyach for muting it. Getting back to Agamar, Sigmaris says, Kol Biza, all the booty that people, or all the spoils, the Klal Yisrael will receive in the morning until 12 o'clock, until the Sus Ratzah Matzah, like we had before, that distance that the Sus goes, and that underneath it has all of that shade. Yeah, Kodesh Lashem, they're going to be so, first of all, they're going to have so much, and then they're going to be so generous that whatever they received during that period of time in the morning, they're going to go until 12 o'clock, they're going to go and be menadavit to the Beis Hamikdash. If you look at Rashi, Kol Biza Shevoizu Yisrael. It's about 6-7 lines lower than where we are. Kol Biza Shevoizu Yisrael. Men Anachrim, all the spoils that they will receive from the enemies. Biyoyim Echad Ad Chatzois. On one day, until midday, Yukodesh Lashem Sheviyum Nedova Lamikdash. They're going to bring that for Nedova to the Beis Hamikdash, which obviously is a huge amount that they've captured during that period of time. Gantz Klal Yisrael. Says Yimar, Nishlam Laman Yomer, Kol Biza Shabbat Yisrael, Haino Dachsir Vahoy Asirus Beis Hashem Kimizrokim Lefnei HaMizbeach. So now, the pasuk that we were quoting before about the Metzilois, that's pasuk number 2 in our Gemaras, probably Beis and other Gemaras. It says, Vayomahu, Yea Al Metzilois Asus Kodesh Lashem. That's the part that we quoted until now. But now we're quoting the second half of the pasuk, Vahoy Asirus Beis Hashem Kamizrokim Lefnei HaMizbeach. A seer is a large pot in which you usually go and cook things. And those seerois, those cooking pots, which you have Beis Hashem in the Azara, where they would go and cook some of the karbonois, will be Kimizrokim, will be like the vessels that were used to go and be makabel the blood at the time of the Shechita. So those seros, those pots are going to be like the blood vessels. And the obvious question is, in which respect are the pots going to be like the Mizrakim? So Timur, in the respect that just like the Mizrakim were made out of either gold or silver, even the pots in which people cook are going to be made out of gold or silver. Not that that is that practical, because it's usually more practical to go and use iron or steel or today aluminum and other types of pots.
Copper.
But the point of the pasuk is that there's going to be so much wealth in the Beis Hamikdash that they won't be concerned about buying pots and saying, well, let's be of a cheaper material of copper or steel or out of iron. we can even go and spend even tremendous amounts, even from gold and from silver. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, is Bishlam Namandi Yama Kobiz Shabbos Yisrael. According to the third interpretation of the Metzilais, that Klal Yisrael is giving huge amounts of booty. That's why it says in the Pesach, there'll be so much money in the coffers of the Bedik Kabayis, of the Gizbar, of the Mishmigish, they'll be able to go and use that to go and buy expensive Siris. According to the first two Pshat, and the first Pshat, of course, is unrelated to wealth. The first pshat has to do with the expansion of Yerushalayim. The second pshat does have to do with wealth, because it says that people will be so generous that they're going to go and give even the belts on their horses as a nedova to the Beis Hamikdash. But Rashi says, even with that, that's still not that degree of wealth that we're going to have the siros to be made out of silver or out of gold, just like the Mizrakim. It just doesn't get to that extent. This is in fact a second thought, although it's the second part of the pasuk. But there are two thoughts in this pasuk. First part of the pasuk, the metzilas asus kodesh l'Hashem, any one of the three pshatim that we gave until now, and then there's a second part of the pasuk. V'yasir beis Hashem kimizrakim. What is this referring to? To misasri Yisrael, that lasid lo v'yikla Yisrael are going to be such ashirim. There's going to be such wealth. And they're going to bring in huge, huge amounts to the Beis HaMikdash, and so therefore we'll be able to have the Sirois Kimizrakim made out of silver or out of gold. That's already the next posik in Zechariah, after we just spoke about the Metzilois Asus and the Sirois Kimizrakim. The next posik says that there's not going to be a Knani. The word Kanani over here doesn't mean like one of the Shiva Amamim, the people that lived in Eretz Canaan, but rather Kanani over here means we won't have any merchants. What does that mean, we won't have any merchants? So says Rashi that we're not going to have Gizborim whose job is going to be to invest all the monies and all the schoira that we have in the Beis HaMikdash. As everybody knows, every school or every major university, etc., etc., lahavdil, all have endowment funds, and to make sure that those endowment funds don't remain flat, you have to have someone who's going to go and invest them, and hopefully, with Siyata Dishmaya, they will invest and make a lot of money on behalf of that institution. Here, Klal Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash won't need such an investment manager, because it's just going to be so much in the coffers, so much in the treasury, that we won't have to worry about investing it. That means v'lo yekanani. So that I understand if you're talking about the Biza. There's so much, then you don't have to invest it. There are billions in the treasury. According to the first two pshatim, where there were not any major income for, okay, the second one is taka abyssal yah, but still it doesn't rise to the visa. So my, what means v'lo yekanani? Rabbi Yirmiyah, ein kan oni. The word kanani over here doesn't mean merchant, it doesn't mean a person from Eretz Canaan, but rather it's like Rosh Tevis, ein kan oni is like kanani. That there won't be anias, like we say about the Beis HaMikdash, ein anias b'moka mashiris. Baruch Hashem, there's so much ashiris, there's no anias drainzach in the Beis HaMikdash. In yesterday's Sedra, when we had about the Sneh, it says, Vasneh einenu ukol. So my Mechitin, who Mendy knows very well, Rav Moshe Zafir, who was originally from Vienna and knows a beautiful Deutsch, says that the word in German and in Yiddish, a grandchild is called an einikol. And he says that the etymology of the word einikol is from einenu ukol. Enenu ukol, enenu ikol is einikol. Means the person who does have einikol, he's able to go and say, Vasne enenu ukol, Baruch Hashem, the sneh did not get consumed and devoured and eliminated as a result of a fire. It keeps on burning. That person's neshama, that person's it continues learning if he has einiklech that are continuing in his footsteps. And even if they're not, but his life blood continues on in his einiklech, einenu ukol. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, uknani minon the ikri tagar. How do I know that the word kanani otherwise refers to a tagar, to a merchant, an investor, a businessman? Chsev, oh, very famous. Possibly Yashem Yehuda bas ish kanani. My kanani, what means kanani? Elaim the kanani mamish. Efshe bo Avram v'hizris Yitzchak, bo Yitzchak v'hizris Yaakov, v'Yehuda ozel v'nosif, We're talking about Yehuda, saw Bas Ishkanani, and eventually he married her. Ah, Kanani, she was a real Kanani. After all, Avram said to Yitzchak, I don't want you to go and marry anyone from the Bnei Kanan. And that's why he sent Eliezer, and he said, Eliezer, not from the Bnei Kanan. But Yitzchak is Yaakov, the same thing. Then Yehuda, who was the Bechir of the Shvatim, he should go and Chas V'Shalom be over on this. Don't marry the Kanan. And if I'm Rav Shimon Lakish, Bas Gavra Tagra, the word Bas Ish Kanani means the daughter of a Tagra, of a merchant. So it says the Pasuk, Kanan Biyodoi Moizne Mirma. This is a Pasuk in Hoshea. This doesn't sound like a very nice Pasuk vis-a-vis the Kanan. This Kanan, we're talking about a merchant who unfortunately is deceitful and he has false scales. And therefore, when he's going and assuming that this is a person in a store who is selling fruits and vegetables, etc. Okay, put them on the scale. Little do people realize that the scale has been weighted down, so it looks like it's only a pound, and it's really, it shows it's 2 pounds, and he's able to go and double the price, or double the amount that he charges. So Kanan, this is a merchant who be oddly in his hands are moizne mirma, deceitful and fraudulent scales and weights. Same when the Acha, I have another pasuk Sher Sechrea Sorim Kinaneha Nechbadi Aret. So just like we see the Sochrim are Sorim, they have to be the princes. Kinaneha, that's a synonymous term to the Sechrea. They also Nechbadi Aret, they're the greatest Kanakas, the people that receive a lot of honor and respect in this world. So you see that the word Kanani and Sechr are basically synonymous. Okay, we continue on. Vayta Psukim in Zechariah, in the same capital, Zechariah Yudalid. V'hoya Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz b'yemahu Yehashem echad ishmayachad. This pasuk should be familiar to all of us because we conclude Aleinu and the davening with this pasuk. Now the question is, b'yemahu l'asad lova Yehashem echad ishmayachad ato idna lav echadu. When we say this pasuk, we're rattling it off so quickly at the end of davening because we're already impatient, already been davening for half an hour, for 45 minutes, for an hour, 2 hours, whatever it happens to be. Does anybody give it a second thought? Good to kasha. By Yom Mahu on that day, Hashem is going to be Echad Shemayachad. What about today? Okay, in the Lav Echad, there's only one Kodesh Baruch Hu today. We say that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's this by Yom Mahu? Amar Bach Bachani Loik Oilam Azeh Oilam Baba Oilam Azeh Al psurois toivois oimer boruch hatoivi hametiv, al psurois rois oimer boruch daina emes. On this world, sometimes we hear great news and we make a boruch hatoivi hametiv, and sometimes we unfortunately hear bad news and we make a boruch daina emes. Loilam haba kuloi hatoivi hametiv. And that's what we mean to say, Hashem echad. Everything that Hashem does, we will recognize at that time as being only toivi hametiv. So one of the Mefarshim asks, why do we talk about the Besuris Toivis Oimer? He makes a bracha, bracha Toivah Meitiv. I'm Besuris Toivis, you make a bracha, bracha and emes. But Asad Lavi will only make a bracha Toivah Meitiv. Why does the Gemara say that on this world, unfortunately, sometimes there's good news, and sometimes there's bad news. Sometimes good things happen, sometimes bad things happen. Asad Lavi, everything that will happen will be for good. Why does he talk about the bracha that you make? Just talk about, you know, the happenings that caused you to make the bracha. So the Mefarshim explain is because everything on this world is always for good. We unfortunately don't always recognize it, but kol madi ovid rachmana litav ovid. Even if it looks on the surface, terrible, terrible news, nebuch, this, that, the other thing. Really, it's for good, but we don't see, of course, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's master plan, and we don't realize that what appears to be bad is really good. So therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is that even today, everything is a Besura Toiva, even though we don't recognize it as such, because we're only human, we are not fallible, or we are fallible. And so therefore, we say Baruch Atah B'Meitiv, and there we say Baruch Atah Nevis. But also lovely, we will finally see the master plan with our own eyes, and then we'll realize that everything Kodesh Baruch Hu did is for the good, and what Kodesh Baruch Hu continues to do is for good, and therefore it's always Atah B'Meitiv.
Because actually, the language is more precise, because in this world, we bench Baruch Atah B'Meitiv, we bench Dynamis, but in everything we don't say the Bracha at all, it's, as you're saying. It's all,
yeah, exactly. Okay. I do not have all the answers. Certainly not to that question. They say that someone came to Ramchal Ber Weissmandel in the middle of the war, after the war,
Nebuchadnezzar had already been killed, and he said, Mechol Ber, Mechol Ber, as you all know, was a legendary hero and saved hundreds of thousands of Yidden that otherwise Chas Hashem would have perished. Anyway, so he asked him, what's your explanation for the Shoah? So he said, for a person who has no emuna, there are no answers. A person who has emuna, there are no questions. We have emuna, bitochen, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for good. We don't understand it. There's no way we can understand what happened to Shoah, no in the way we can understand many other tragedies that happened. Rabbi Shalom has his cheshbonis. So we are Yir Hashem Echad. Now Ushmoy Echad. Freaky more my Echad. Otu Idna Lav Shmoy Echad. There's only one name for the Bush. What do you mean Shmoy Echad? What are you talking about? Rav Nachman Yitzchak Lulim Hazeh Olam Haba Olam Hazeh Nichdu Biyud Kei VeNikra BiAlef Talit. As we know, whenever you see in the Siddur or in the Chumash, you see Yud Kei Vav Kei. We never say Chas Shalom the way it's written. We say the way you say it, which is the Lashon Adnos. It's only going to be in that way. Yudke. No such thing anymore of Shem Adnos. Sometimes it says in the Torah, Aleph Tal Nun Yod, yeah, but where it says Yudke Vavke, we're going to read it the way it's written.
Like the witnesses,
exactly. The J witnesses. Sovereign Rava, the Midrash of Bepirka, wanted to go and darshan Bepirka. Now, what does it mean he wanted to darshan? Darshan doesn't mean to give a drasha, but rather he was going to go and pronounce the name Yudke Vavke and say, Osad Lovin, this is the way we're going to go and say it, like, as you just said, Lahavdol, the J witnesses. However, Omri Usaba. So now Barry is immediately going to jump up. Usaba means
except for Shabbos Lamed Gimel, the Tosfos and Chum Davav tells us it's Eliyahu Hanavi.
Eliyahu Hanavi. So Eliyahu Hanavi is going to go and tell us Li Olam Ksev. What means Li Olam? We're going to go and quote the pasuk on the next line. Ze Shmi Li Olam VeZe Zichri LeDor Dor. When do you lay this pasuk?
This precious sucker.
We laid it. No. We laid it. We landed in yesterday's landing. It's a long pasuk. You see number 8. So now it says, but the word li'olam is written without a vav. So therefore you could read it as if it's behelim. Helim means it's something which is hidden or concealed. And therefore, Ha'usaba, Eliyahu Novi, except for the Gemara and the Shabbos, etc., according to Toises and Chulin, is referring to Eliyahu Novi that's telling Rava, no, Machashvaik, don't pronounce this parabim, don't pronounce it even quietly, because we're not supposed to say it. This world is supposed to remain behelim, supposed to remain concealed. Rabbi Avinu Rami Ksiv, the passage which we just quoted, Zeshmi Liyolim, Zezich Lidor Dar. So there seems to be an inconsistency in the pasuk. What's the inconsistency? The first part of the pasuk says it's supposed to be behelim. Keep it quiet. The second pasuk says zezichri. This is the way I'm supposed to be remembered. So if I'm supposed to be remembered, that means that's the way you mention it. That's the way you're supposed to say it. You make up your mind. Is it concealed? Is it not concealed? Oh my goodness, Baruch Hu. Loi kashi nichtav ani nikra. Nichtav ani biyud kei. The Nikra Nibi Aleft Aled. There's a big difference between the way that I am written, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the way which I am pronounced, the way you're supposed to read it, which is Aleft Aled Nun Yud. So that's the Zeshmi Liolam, the real name, the way it's written, that's Behelim, Liolam. Zezichri, the way you're supposed to be Maskir, mentioned, referred to the name, that's a different story. That's the Dor Dor that we mention in the form of the Shem Adnos. There's a famous word of Reb Shamshon Astropola at the beginning of Masechtas Megillah. The Masechtas Megillah begins, Megillah Nekras, Biyad Aleph, Biyad Beis, Biyad Gimel, Biyad Dalet, B'tezvav, Vepoches V'lo Yoyser. So we know the Pashup Shad, of course, is that the Megillah can be read for that period between Yud Aleph and Tezvav, depending on whether you're talking about the Krochim or the Kfarim, Ayyaris Kedarvis, exactly, which we'll learn this Masechtas Megillah in not too long, since we're already in Tumayit. Fine. However, the Mishamshon Astropola says, you can learn this Mishnah 101 times. How people like Mishamshon Astropola came up with these things, it's unbelievable. So if you take the words, they take the numbers, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tezvav, and you add them up together. Let's see, maybe we can do it on our own. Yud Aleph is 11, and you add 12 to 11. 11 and 12 comes out to be roughly 23. Yeah. And then you add 13 to 23, you get to roughly 36. And then you add to that 14, 36 and 14, remember, is 50. Then you add 15, then you get to 65. 65 is the gematria of the Shem Adnos. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Aleph is 1, Dalet is 4, 1 and 4 is 5, Nun is 50, is 55, Yud is 10, is 65. Oh! So Yud Aleph until Tazvav adds up to the Shem Adnos, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Good. Now, Lepochas v'loyoyser. Pochas v'loyoyser means not less than 11, which would of course be 10. V'loyoyser, not more than 15, which would be 16. So if we add 10 and 16 together, you get 26. 26 is the gematria of the Shem Havayah, the Yud, K, Vav, K. Yud is 10. K is 5, is 15. You add 6 is 21. You add another 5 is 26. Says Reb Shem Shas Tzipora. Megillah Nikris. When you see Megillah, you see Hashem's name revealed. It says Yud, K, Vav, K. You don't read it that way. It's Nikris. Be'er Aleph, Yudez, Yigimel, Dalet, Tzvav, with the Shem Adnos, with 65. That's weird. But V'lepuchas L'yoyser, I don't even think of going and reading it the way it's written, 26, Yud, K, Vav, K.
Who's this man?
Reb Shamshon Astropola. Shamshon Astropola was a great tzaddik, and he was a genius, and he comes up with gematrios and things of this nature. He lived about 150, 200 years ago. I'm sure if you do your Wikipedia or your Google, you'll find him.
What country was he from?
He was from the town of Astropola. Where was that? It was either in
Poland or Russia.
Russia, or perhaps in Galicia. I doubt it was Hungarian. We won't explain why I doubt that, but that's a separate story.
Bring an article about him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you Google, you'll capture the story.
Sorry? The
book is not less than 11, which would be 10. Layoyis is not more than 15, because you're saying you can read it from Yer Aleph to Tezlov. Not less is 10. More than 15 is 16. 10 and 16 is 26.
So
therefore, Megillah Nikras, if you want to read Hashem's name, which is Megillah, which is revealed, you read Yud Kei Vav Kei. Make sure. How do you read it? From Yud Aleph to Tezvav by saying Shem Adnos 65. But don't go and read it with the Shem Havayah of the 26.
Pachliyoser is considered one expression. Pachliyoser is a 26, equals 26.
Exactly. Good. Baruch to you. And that's because of this passage there. Shemila Oilam is a zikr the dar, loik moshani nikrani nichtav, nichtav ani biyad kebe nikrani bi aleph talit, hadalach elo oivrim, on to new perig, zok the Mishnah. Mokim shenoagu lasis molochim arvi psachim ad chatzois oisin. Mokim shenoagu shaloi lasois ein oisin. There were two minhogim in Klai Yisrael. Many people in Klai Yisrael were noig to do molocha until Chatzos, and many people were knowing not even to do melacha even before Chatzos. There were people shenogu las melacha by Pesach at Chatzos oisin. Mokish shenogu shaloi lasis ein oisin. Now, why on Erev Pesach did they have a minig and many mekoyimis not to go to work? Explain Rashi, because Erev Pesach is perhaps the busiest day of the year. Now to us, it's busy, but not as busy as it was in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, because everybody was rushing to Beis Hamikdash to go and bring their Karban Pesach. And you can imagine the masses. It wasn't easy to go and just run with your Karban Pesach. And besides that, Rashi says in the bottom, they made sure not to work. Shaloi kadesh lehi torid b'malacha. This is the first wide line down below. V'yishkach birchem. So he can't run to bring a korban pesach. First, they have to go and consume the chametz which is left, and then I have to go and burn it. And then I have the shchitzas pesach, and then I have to go and get the matzis mitzvah. L'chadchili, you're supposed to eat Seder night matzis mitzvah, which means erev pesach matzos. Even today, many people are makbid on that, to go and eat Erev Pesach matzahs. The reason why others are not so makbid is, number one, not everybody has the ability to get to the matzah bakery in Erev Pesach to go and get your matzahs at the last moment. You're too busy doing other things. Number two, there aren't that many matzahs available. Of course, if there would be a greater demand, there would be a greater supply. But another reason is because some say that since it's done very, very, very quickly, maybe they're not so nizer on some of the pitchufkis and some of the chumras that you have otherwise in the baking of the matzah, so they figure it might be a chumra boli de kula. But that's a separate story. It's a beginning to have matzah mitzvah from Erev Pesach. So people are busy with all of that, but tzirich halayla, and not only that, Rashi points out, the mitzvah letroich b'oijoyim kedei lohasim maher. All preparations should preferably be made before Yontif begins. When you leave your home to shul, the table should already be set with all of these, the seder plates and everything else. Kedemom v'perek basra, choyt v'matzah b'lei l'psachem b'shvil t'inoikos shaloi Yishnu. We especially want to go and chop the matzahs. Of course, chopping the matzahs, there are a number of pshatim in that. One of them is that the children go and chop the afikoyman so that they stay up and they want to wait until the last moment to be able to go and use a certain amount of extortion to be able to go and get to all different types of presents and stuff. But the parsha pshat is choit v'matzah, that we go and get everything ready quickly so that when we start the Seder, that the children shouldn't be falling asleep, they should be well awake, because right after davening, shnell, we start. So it's a busy day. So that's why many were noyig not to go and work. So getting back to the mission. So the mokim shenogel shalasim alach where Rabbi Pesachim ad chatzoyis ois, in those places where the minig used to work, you can work. Mokim shenogel shalasim alach ein ois, and then don't work. That's the minig of mokim. Now hal hoylich me mokim shalois and mokim shein ois. I mean mokim shein ois and mokim shalois. What happens if you are traveling and you're going from one mokim to the other? Noisim alach chumri mokim shiyos misham vachumri mokim shalach vasham. You are stuck with either your own minig if that is lahachmir, or even if your minig is lahakel. If that mokum where you come to is a minig lachmir, you gotta be machmir. You cannot go, there are no shortcuts over here. You gotta be machmir here in Pesach, according to either minig. The alishan on the machloikis, and you shouldn't go and change because chas v'shalom, you're gonna make machloikis. If you're gonna go and start doing kulois in other places where people are machmir, oh, what are you doing? So you always try to do kiminig a mokum. Kiyoitzaboy, similarly, till now we spoke about Hilchas Erev Pesach. Same thing applies to Shmita. Hamoylech Peres Shviyas mean Mokim Shekolu leMokim Shalei Kolu. I mean Mokim Shalei Kolu leMokim Shekolu Chayev LeVaer. What does all of that mean? There's a special din during the Shmita year. You're allowed to go and hoard at home food for your family. After all, you're not going to be able to buy it easily in the store because it says le'ochla v'loy l'schoira. So people are going to hoard a lot. But the Torah says that you have to make sure that you are not damaging the animals, that they won't have anything to go and eat by your hoarding. After all, the animals are relying on what people leave out there in the field to be able to exist. So therefore, there's a pasuk that you learn out that if kol l'chayim in asoga is kol l'hemtachom in abayis, that if you have gone and collected everything, and unfortunately there's nothing left for the animals outside, and they're now making mass demonstrations in Washington, and they're climbing up in the Capitol building because they have nothing to eat, so and something like that, then kol l'hemtachom in abayis, then you have to go and take some of the food that you've hoarded at home and take it out to the outside for the chayis. Aha. So now, obviously, each place is different, because some places the crops grow quicker, and so therefore the harvesting took place earlier, and the people brought the food in earlier, other places takes longer. So, the different places for the different animals in terms of where they need to get extra food. So, if you are traveling from one place to the other, and it's Shmittir, and you bring the Peres with you from place to place, and you're going to Mokum Shekolu, Mokum Shalai Kolu, in your place where you live, it's Mokum Shekolu, Lechayim and Asada, and therefore people were practicing Bior Min Habayis, they were taking out Peres Shmittir and they were leaving it outside, or you're coming Mokum Shalai Kolu, and you're coming to Mokum Shekolu. Again, Chayim Levayim, regardless of what your previous minig was, not regardless, in addition to any chumra that you had in your own minhag hamokim that were kolu, that people were already putting the food out, even if you've come now to a place shaloi kolu, where there still Baruch Hashem was enough food out in the open, you got to put your peiros out anyway. Or vice versa, if you come to mokim shaloi kolu, in the place where you were, there was Baruch Hashem still plenty of peiros for the chayis outside, and you come to the Mokum Shekolu, the people are no longer hoarding that food, they are putting it out, you have to put it out. Again, you can't come to Meshanim, Ne'am Achloikis, Chai Levan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tzei V'Havei Lecha Af Ato. Go out and bring for yourself, even you. And this sounds almost poetic. What does this mean? Rashi says, Mi'at Hashem, Mefarish B'Gemara. We'll get to the Gemara exactly what was the Kavana of Rabbi Yehuda in saying that. Back to the beginning of Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, they're saying that Erev Pesach there was a grace of meaning that many Mekoimais people did not do Melacha. My area Arve Psachim, I feel Arve Shabbos, Arve Yom Tovim, Naami. The Sadish Tate Mabrai, so Isa Melacha, Arve Shabbos, Arve Yom Tovim. Men Aminchu Lamala, Eina Roya Simon Bracha. It says that if you go and do Melacha and Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tovim, Men Aminchu Lamala, after the time of Mincha, depending on whether you learn that this is mincha gdoila or mincha ktana. Rashi says so mincha ktana, which means teisha sho'ois u'mechza, meaning starting from 6 o'clock in the morning, assuming we're talking about a 12-hour day. This would mean basically from 3:30 in the afternoon for the next 2 hours, 3 hours until Shabbos or Yom Tov. Don't do malacha. If you do malacha at that time, en eroy is simen bracha. I had, when I was still active in my law profession, I had certain clients. I would call them on Erev Shabbos. We have to make a decision. It was already late Friday afternoon. He says, no, he doesn't make any decisions now. We'll wait to match him to Sunday and Monday to make decisions. He doesn't make decisions, probably based on this Gemara, en eroy is simen bracha. Anyway, so bottom line is, so I see that there's already an inyan of stopping malacha throughout the year, not just in Aviv Pesach.
3:30 is pretty late.
Oh, that's the Gemara's tests. Here we're talking about the minig in that Mishnah over there. We're talking about minchol ma'ala. Here we're talking about that the line of demarcation is the chatzos. In other words, apparently after chatzos, everybody stopped doing malacha. But even until chatzos, we had this minig. So he said that minig you didn't have throughout the year. You only had minchol ma'ala. Someone who goes and works in those places where the minig is not to work on Erev Pesach, we go and say to Mr. You better cease and desist from working, otherwise Chas v'Shalom, we put the guy in chayr, we put a shamta. Over here, okay, he doesn't see a simen bracha, but he doesn't get put into chayr. So a major difference. Kufa. If you work at any time, when at any one of those times, Chas v'Shalom, you don't see a simen bracha. So let's think about this. Mati Shabbos, Mati Yom, not Mati Shabbos. Arvi Shabbos and Arvi Shabbos and Yom Tov. In a minute, we already discussed. It's almost Shabbos, almost Yom Tov. You should occupy yourselves with Shabbos and Yom Tov and not think about business. Leave business till after Shabbos. But it's already after Shabbos, Mati Shabbos and Yom Tov. What's the problem over there? Would you say if you do work on Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Yom Tov, in Roi Yisim Bracha? So the Tab Toises tells us that this Gemara is talking about a very, very short window of, I wouldn't say window of opportunity, but a short window where you're not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even after the Zman. And that is, if you look at the very end of the Toises, Pirush Achi Yashlim HaTfila Minik Kosher, Ubha Ayri Nami Hacha. That it's a minig kosher not to do malacha as long as people are still davening. Toisa specifically is referring to, for instance, women that are at home, and they've already looked at the clock, and they say, okay, it's already this man, so you can start doing malacha. It's a minig kosher, and what our Gemara is saying is that if you're doing any work during that period of time, in a row, it's simon bracha, to wait until the people are finished with davening and shul. You know that the women are at home. They know that their husbands, their children, whatever, are in shul. They're davening. She knows they're not going to come home for another 10 minutes, 15 minutes because of the length of the tefillah. When they end the davening, she should wait from doing any malach until at least the davening is over. So it doesn't only apply to women. This is referring to all the people in the shtetl, in the shtot, if assuming that there happens to be one uniform time when everybody's davening, because today we're a melting pot and every shul davens their own zmanim. But if you're dealing in a small town or a small place where everybody has the same minigum in terms of davening, you shouldn't start doing any malach until davening is over, even though it's beyond the zman, it's already after Shabbos. Now what is this about the suye tanis tzibur? Tanesim, most of us go and work a regular time. We're not talking about Yom Kippur. I'm not talking about Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av. We're talking about a regular Tanis. Can't work on a Tanis. So Rashi says we're not talking about your typical Tanis. We're talking about a Tanis where they made a special Tanis alag shomim. In other words, there's a terrible tzora on the tzibur. It hasn't rained now in months. Nebuch, all the farmers are saying nothing is growing in the fields. There's not going to be any food. It's geferlich. Mesechtes Tana says that they would then go and make these major Tanesi Tzibur, ganz klar, so you all have to go and fast on this Monday, this Thursday, whatever. Why Dabska Monday or Thursday? Because those are Yimei Rachman. That's why we have the lengthy Tachman on those days, especially Yimei Rachman. So if you look at Rashi Tanis Tzibur, it's about 8-9 lines higher, 10 lines higher than when we are in the Gemara Tanis Tzibur. Also, bimalach Mesechtes Tanis, kishoi Mesan alek Shaman. If you're talking about chayes asar b'teivis, you're talking about things of that nature. Loi, kidam b'shmul ain't chayim b'tanas tzibur b'bavel. That din of tanas tzibur doesn't apply. So this is the gabay the our girsa. But there's another girsa. If you look at the aleph in the gra, here on the left hand margin, hagoyis agro lasuya tisha b'av. Ah, when we're saying in a roi simon bracha means on tisha b'av. That's the Tanasim. Presumably, this was originally written in some sort of Rosh Hashanah, and the Tzaddik, or the Beis, if it's a Tisha B'Av, tough Beis, the Beis didn't come out so clearly, and then someone assumed that was a Tzaddik, and they made Tanasim, but it really means Tisha B'Av. I remember twice I had to go and do as an associate. I was busy doing work on Tisha B'Av. I tried to refrain as much as possible, but a senior partner said, I have to come to a meeting. So I came with a meeting. I was wearing my sneakers. He was not, you know, my canvas shoes. He looked at it, all startled, because today anybody wears anything and you don't get startled at anything. At least at that time, people came in formal business dress. I was wearing my canvas shoes. I was, of course, very hungry. It was Tisha B'Av, but I sat there like a lemachol, and I said to myself, this is not going to work out. It's supposed to be a big, big deal. And of course, a week later, the client said, forget about it, the deal is off, and it was just a waste of time. And then I had a second time where I had to go and review a document. It was very important. I had to review the document on Tisha B'Av. I reviewed it. Of course, again, once again, the deal never closed, because Ein Roi Yisrael Bracha L'Olam, any work that I ever did on Tisha B'Av never worked out. Anyway, getting back to Gemara. Tanur Bani.
And Ninud Avera is...
The word Ninud means even a little scrap. A speck. Oh, Ninud means a speck, yeah. Even a drop. A mashu of Avera. Zot Gemara Bait. Tanur Bani. Yesh Zoriz V'Nisker. And Zoriz doesn't only mean a person that works quickly with alacrity. Rashi says Zoriz means a Bal Malacha. A person, you know, he works, he's a dedicated employee. He does his work. He's there on time, and he works.
Efficient,
yeah. V'nisker, and Baruch Hashem, he who gets schar, a reward for his work. V'yizor is v'nifsad. There are those that are good, devoted workers, but nifsad, unfortunately, they will have a loss. Yesh shuffle. Shuffle means basically a lazy guy who doesn't do any work. V'nisker, and he'll get his schar. V'yesh shuffle, and then the lazy guys v'nifsad, and they will lose out. So what are these? What's the explanation? Zok to Brayson. Zoriz v'niskar di ovid kuli shabata v'lo ovid mamale shabata. He's a zoriz v'niskar. If he works very flasic, very efficiently, he works very expeditiously, he does a great job from Sunday through Thursday, and it comes Erev Shabbos, he doesn't work. Oh, he'll get a lot of schar for taking off on Fridays, so he can go and prepare for Shabbos. Zoriz v'nifsad is the Ovid Kuli Shabbat, the Ovid B'mali Shabbat. He's Taka Zoriz, and he works 6 days a week, from Sunday through Friday. So he's a Zoriz, but he's Nifsad. He's losing out on that special Simen Bracha, in the sense that he's working in Erev Shabbos. Not a good idea. Then you have Shoful v'nisker. Shoful, he's a lazy guy, but v'nisker, he still gets schar. But the Ovid Kuli Shabbat, he doesn't work the whole week. We have B'mali Shabbat, because he doesn't work on Friday. I don't work on, what did they used to say? If you don't come in Shabbos, don't come in on Sunday. He doesn't come in on Thursday. He doesn't come in on Friday. He doesn't come in any day. But he still gets schar. The reason why he gets schar is the Gemara is going to point out another couple of lines. Because the Kohen Baruch Hu gives a person schar of Shaloi Lishma, that hopefully he'll come Lishma. Like Gemara says, "Va'olam Yasek Odma Mitzvah Afilu Shloim Vishma." So here, Shloim Vishma. The reason I didn't go on Friday is not because it's a crazy tzaddik; he's going to go and be busy preparing for Shabbos. Reason is because
it doesn't work at all.
It doesn't work at all. Then you have Shoful Minifset, the Ovid Kuli Shabbat, the Ovid Mali Shabbat. It's Punk Faket. It's a Ipcha Mestavernik. That's what Chazan Hendel's Chorn Bruch used to say. Ipcha Mestavernik. A person does everything Faket. From Sunday to Thursday, I'm too busy, I can't work, it doesn't go to work. Friday, then he works the whole day until 5 minutes before Shkia. So that's a Shoful Minifset. Amar Rava. So Rava, as you know, was the Rav of Mechoiza, and we find from time to time Rava was a little bit critical of some of his townspeople. So he said, "Hani nashi in Mechoiza, the women that live in Mechoiza, avagavli ovden avidita b'mali shabata mishumin fan kusahu." Even though the reason why they don't go and work on Fridays is because of their delicate, fragile nature. Those nashim are very, very delicate. My father's Chan Vrucha said that the word Mefankusa might be related to the word finicky. They were very finicky. Mishum Mefankusa. They don't work from Sunday through Thursday either. Nevertheless, they still get schar for not doing malacha on Friday. Karlina Rava, and that's what Rava would say about them. Rami Ksib, and Rava would go and would. I'm sorry. They still get the title of Shofar Miniska because they do it, even though they do it Shalai Lishma, but Lamaisa they do a good thing that they don't work on Friday. And therefore, Rava Rami, Rava asked the Seer, Ksiv, one person says, Kigodl, Ad Shemaim Chastecha. Uksiv Kigodl, Me'al Shemaim Chastecha. Here the Chesed of Kodesh Baruch Hu is until Shemaim, here it says even above the Shemaim. Okay, it's a Kamboys and Lishma, we can't always ensure. So a person who does his mitzvahs lishma, then God will me'al shemaim chazecha, the chesed of Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to go and give us reward, will go beyond anything, even beyond the heavens. Those people, the shloi lishma, okay? It's like a shloi lishma, but nevertheless, he'll still get schar, ad shemaim chazecha, not beyond them, it's until the heavens. Turn about. Hametzap l'schar ishtoi, if a person is basing his parnasa on the schar of his wife, we'll see what that means in a moment, or on the schar of Rechayim, unfortunately he's not going to see a simon bracha. What does that mean? Schar ishtoi means matkulta. Matkulta, says Rashi, means scales. Apparently, people when they sold fruits, vegetables, other schoira, they sold it by the weight and they didn't necessarily have their own scales. So you had women that would go and carry scales in their hand, and they would walk around in the shuk, and they would rent it out, lease it out to people that needed the scales. And how much would people pay for the renting of scales? A very small amount. So Rashi says, it's a bizoyin that women have to go in the shuk carrying these scales around, and the amount that they earn is nebuch paltry, so nebuch he's not going to see any simon bracha. Same thing applies to rechaya. Rechaya is a mill. Here too, they would go and rent out the mill. There's more rechaya igrisa, for leasing or renting it out to people to go and use the mill. Rashi says, maskirin toirach godoil, it's a gewaldige tercha, uschar mu'et. In other words, here a person is probably not schlepping a mill around, but people that need to go and grind whatever their food items, they come to Yankel who has such a rechayim, and he said, oh, of course you can. How much they pay? And they pay him a nickel an hour. It's back-breaking work, and he earns so little. Aval, however, the woman that's of the umezadna, what happens if she, instead of renting out the scales, for instance, she's selling the scales or selling other schayr. Ishtabuchim ishtabach ba'akradach. Sodan osasa vatimkar. Meaning that then now she's doing like all sachrim do. What does sachrim do? They go and sell their wares, and hopefully, if they are able to produce it cheaply and sell it at a higher price, then they make money. So, renting yourself out for these paltry little sums, this is good, as you won't see a simon bracha. If you're involved in normal commerce that you're selling, hopefully then, Kodesh Baruch will give you siyata shmai and you'll make a lot of money. Tonoban, hamistakir bekonim bekankan. If a person's parnos is based on konim, konim, says Rashi, means all different types of sticks which were used as building material, for instance, to go and build gates and fences and things of that nature, walls. Or bekankana means jugs. My time, since the person who is selling the konim, the word apachazayu, says Rashi, means the volume or the size. Since the size of the volume is very large, you're carrying around these big jugs, all different sizes of konim. So people say, grace the seichel, okay, he's schlepping around truckloads of all this stuff. So then you can have chas v'shalom, it might be an ayin hara. Now, what are these categories? The Tagri Simta, says Rashi, people that are sitting out in the Simta, out in the alleyways, and they are peddlers, and they are selling their wares in the Shuk. Then everybody passes by, and everybody sees that they are selling all the different items. So again, it's Sholet Be'ena. It's not something which is concealed, it's all out in the open. People are screaming at them, presumably because they go and wander into the fields, and therefore they're gaslonim. But going to say, Ilonis Toivois, a person who needs firewood, Lamashal, instead of going and cutting down some old trees, he goes and cuts down nice, beautiful, cedar trees, they're sequoias. So people say, what are you doing? This is a gorgeous tree. What are you doing? And those who are partners and they always want to get the better partnership share than the other guy, my time with the Tobin, because people look upon them with kind of jaundiced eyes and saying, ah, this, that's the way you act, that's the way you do. All these four panoses, unfortunately, do not come up with a simon bracha. Are those people, says Rashi, that are the ones that act as the loudspeakers for the darshanim on Shabbos, because they're getting paid for their loudspeaking, and it looks like, oh, they're working on Shabbos. Presumably they did this during the week as well, but Shabbos is when they had the large audiences that would come together to hear the drashas, so it looks like he's getting paid for Shabbos work. If you are acting as the investment banker for the assignment, or taking care of their money, guess what? If Chas V'Shalom, you make a mistake, the assignment can't be moichel you. What's the problem over here? The money that's coming, Dina Seyam, says Rashi, is Mishalech Sfi Noisav Tamid B'Mokam Sakana. To get things from the other side of the sea, then you have to go and be a sea traveler on the boat and on the ship. How many times have boats and ships, even the Titanic, can go and sink? So you're always relying on Nisim. And Scharkois means the scribes, the suffering. My time. Why do you say that they don't say Simon Bracha? Can you imagine they sat 24 Tanesim, that the Sofrim should never become Ashirim. Once they become Ashirim, they'll say, I'll stop. What do I need to busy myself with writing Svarim and Tulim? I'd rather go and invest in real estate, in the stock market, if they get wealthy. So that's why there's a permanent spell, if you will, on these Kaisim. They're never going to become Ashirim. And 99% of the time, you see Sofrim, even in today's generation, they do not become Ashirim. Those 24 Tanesim worked very, very well. They and the merchants that sell it, you know, wholesale and retail, etc. They're not going to see some bracha. But the reason why they're doing it is not because they want to make money. They're doing it because we know that in the communities we need new tefillin, we need new mezuzahs, we need new tzarim, we need new tchelis. Oh, you're doing lishma, then royin, then kodesh baruch hu, send us some bracha. They had a minig not to go and travel from Tzur to Tzidoin and Erev Shabbos. Also, Bnei Kamid Rabbi Yochanan to the children of the Bnei Baishan came to Rabbi Yochanan Amrulai Avosin, our father's Efshalahu. Baruch Hashem, they made enough money, they had enough parnasa that they did not have to go and work, and they didn't have to travel from Tzur to Tzidoin Erev Shabbos. And then we're not on that same madrega of parnasa. We need to go make money today to be able to support our families. You should continue following the footsteps of your fathers, and yet Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu will send you special siyata d'shmaya. You'll be able to make money even without working on Erev Shabbos. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai, and Zai Gizu.